During the fall of 2001, Paul Dana was finishing a successful season in Formula Fords and wondering what to do next. On the morning of September 11th, Paul was testing a Formula Ford at Mid-Ohio. As we all did that day, Paul stopped to reflect on his life and his career and how it mattered, or more frankly, did not matter, to the more important issues of the day. Several months later, Paul was working in Florida as a driving instructor at the BMW Ride and Drive program. Distracted, possibly bored, Paul was watching the F-16 fighter jets from nearby Homestead Air Force Base drill overhead as they prepared for our nation's campaign in Afghanistan. Paul recognized the significant financial and human cost of such operations, and he decided that day that our country needed to re-examine its energy sources, apply American ingenuity to the task, and start using more domestic resources. Paul, being a race car driver, went home and developed a plan to parlay that vision into a ride at the Indy 500. Paul and his wife, Tanya, are both descendants of Midwestern homesteaders who lived in sod houses and farmed the land. Paul grew up just west of St. Louis. Tanya grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota. Both of them had friends and family members from farm communities throughout the Midwest. For Paul, the link between an independent energy policy and the American farmer was obvious. He began to research renewable energy and ways to bring the American farmer into the national debate. And he recognized earlier than most of us that energy policy would be one of the most important issues of our day. Gasoline on its own cannot be refined above about 70 octane. You have to add something to it to reach the 87 octane and higher that we use in our cars today. Traditionally, chemical additives have filled this role. But the switch from carburation to fuel injection and improvements in processing technology had allowed ethanol to become a viable alternative. Indeed, all of today's cars can comfortably run up to 10% ethanol. The forum for this message, and again the link to Paul's racing career, could not have been more obvious. Let's just put the whole field at the Indy 500 on ethanol. Paul took his plan on the road and enlisted the support of Ron Lamberty at the American Coalition for Ethanol, Bob Dineen at the Renewable Fuels Association, and Bob Reynolds of Downstream Alternatives here in South Bend. At the American Coalition for Ethanol convention in 2002, Paul met three of the industry leaders who agreed that Paul's plan was worth a shot: Jeff Broin from Broin Companies, Ron Fagan from Fagan Inc., and Dave Vandergren from ICM Inc. Competitors in their industry, these three companies account for more than half of the new ethanol plant construction in the country today. They agreed to sponsor Paul in the Indy Pro Series, but more importantly, they encouraged Paul to continue to pursue his broader vision. Paul hooked up that first year with Muncie businessman and new team owner Ken Hardley. After a promising rookie season, where many drivers ride jet skis and learn to play the guitar after their morning workouts, Paul continued to hustle. He looked up to drivers like Adrian Fernandez, who worked as hard off the track as they do on, and he traversed the country several times over, enlisting the financial support of 29 other companies and countless other stakeholders in his program. He also worked with fellow Hoosiers, such as the Central Indiana Clean Cities Coalition and the staff of our Department of Agriculture and the staff from Lieutenant Governor Skillman's office and from Governor Daniels' office to advance their mutual goals. For his second year in the Indy Pro Series, Paul partnered with 1996 Indy 500 winning team owner Ron Himmelgarn, himself a farmer. Ron, Paul, and engineer Chuck Buckman competed all season for that championship, winning one race and finishing second overall. And every weekend, in between every session, Paul hounded the staff of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We need to stop and thank Tony George and his staff for being open to Paul's ideas. The Speedway had not changed fuel since 1964, when methanol was mandated for safety reasons. Frankly, methanol, in both safety and performance, had been a resounding success. So while methanol and ethanol are chemically very similar, a change for Tony was a business risk. As they say, If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But Tony saw its future, and he is committed to innovation and leadership in his field. With technical approval from Honda, Tony agreed to add ethanol to the long list of automotive innovations pioneered here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. In January of 2005, Senators Evan Bayh from Indiana and Jim Talent from Missouri joined Paul and Tony on the steps of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. to announce that the Indy Racing League would be switching to ethanol. 15 months later, President Bush addressed the nation from the offices of the Renewable Fuels Association in Washington, D.C., the same organization that had been working with Paul for several years. President Bush outlined his vision for our nation's energy independence, including the importance of renewable fuels. The ethanol industry now finds itself at the forefront of one of the most important discussions we've ever had about this country. Last fall, Bobby Rahal offered Paul an opportunity to join Danica and Buddy at Rahal Letterman Racing. For Paul, that was a dream come true, and certainly an opportunity too good to pass up. With the fuel switch in full swing and fully recovered from the injury that had sidelined him during the 2005 season, Paul was ready to drive. One of Paul's parallel goals had been accomplished with the fuel switch, but the ethanol car and Paul Dana still needed to get to the front. Paul was determined to make that happen as well. And Jeff, that is now your responsibility. On Sunday, 33 cars will roll off pit lane with ethanol in their tanks. Just over 3 hours later, the car with ethanol in its tank will roll into victory lane. It will be a proud day for Paul Dana. It will be a proud day for our state, and it will be a proud day for our country.
Thank you very much, Greg.